I'd like to introduce our speaker today. He comes from here, Spruce Lake. He's the executive director here. His name is Mark Swartley. He's been married to a wonderful woman for 33 years. He has incredible, impeccable taste in women, or one woman. And he has three children, four grandchildren. He has been the executive director here now going on 14 years. And yes, he has something very exciting to share with us. I know because he's been rehearsing it over and over at home. So yes, let's give a warm welcome to Mark Swartley.
Nice job, Johnny. Have her do it for you. I don't know about you guys, but this summer I've just gotten to see Johnny do some of this music stuff that is his passion, as you can tell. And I can't wait to see what he brings in the future, because you guys saw the violin, but he would just as well move Jackie over and be on the piano, and that would be spectacular as well. So thank you for that this morning. That's the second piece they've done for us this summer. I love it. I love stretching and hearing that stuff. Our theme this summer is transformed, and I think I've got a slide coming up. I can't see them, so you guys are going to have to tell me if I'm on the right page or not. But most of you want to know a little bit about what's going on with the transformation of Spruce Lake before I kind of go on to life. I walk through here and people go, ah. So, yes, we are a multi-site ministry at this point. We are referring to it as Spruce Lake Ministries because we are not just one property any longer, we're two. The next question I get asked by most people is, how's it doing? Is it open yet? Yes, it never did close. It's called fixing it while it's running. Try that with an automobile, you'll lose a finger. We did lose a few fingers this year. So the reality of it is it is completely packed this morning as well. And it has a great start to its new life under the stewardship of Spruce Lake. What does that mean for us and the transformation of our team? We lost some good staff down there. They're working their hands to the bone down there. Chad and Abby are down there, front desk and programming. Johnny got a position here because Chad went down there. We've lost a second chef, and we've lost an operations person. But the reality of it is what it means is 92 more hotel rooms, two more pools, another full dining room, another set of staff. We went from about 150 staff a year to 220 this summer. It meant a lot of things, and it does indeed force transition in our ministry. But because of this opportunity, because of this chance that the board and administration took, 13,000 additional people will cross our threshold this year alone, to be pointed towards Christ as the answer that this world needs. And boy, if you watch the world, we need to be pointing clearly to Christ. And that property is doing just that. It functions under the same core purpose as Spruce Lake, pointing people towards Christ in everything it does and every day that it functions. If you would keep it in prayer, I'd appreciate it. That did not stop Wilderness Camp from running this summer. 900 kids went through under Josh, who's up there running my PowerPoint right now. 340 of them requested a personal time with their counselor for prayer and steps in faith. That is an incredible ministry that continues to flourish on these grounds. Day camp ran right alongside of it with another 1,200 to 1,400 registrations, which does not mean 1,400 children. That means some children were here 12 weeks in a row. And if you take a child and place him in a Christ-centered atmosphere for 12 weeks in a row, you're going to affect their lives. And Amy and Brian under the day camp program are doing just that. Outdoor Ed will kick off, believe it or not, next Wednesday. It is not a moment's peace around the property. We intend to leverage everything Spruce Lake has to point people towards Christ every day that we can. So if you would join us and keep us in prayer, we're going to keep doing that. It is not easy to do that these days. As we'll talk about in the message this morning, our culture is fighting against us. You know that. We felt that even more intensely this year in our hiring practices, in the people that were coming to us, in the positions that were being held by the people, and the teaching that was coming to us from other areas that we were kind of reprogramming a bit on our property to our core values and our statement of faith. Thanks for the support this group of people has in that being, and thanks for all of the prayers that you do offer and all of the financial support you have given, because this room has done a lot for this ministry. And I just wanted to take a moment to say the transition is going well. We are not getting any extra sleep. We have had a fire. We've had power outages. We've had trees down. We've had windstorms. And we are standing for Christ today. Thank you for your prayers and your support this summer. Our verse for the year is Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says this: Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Our culture does not want us to conform our mind to biblical teaching. In fact, as I've talked about this and discussed this over the summer with many people, we realize that our culture is also trying to transform our minds. And it is happening in the oh-so-subtle ways that sometimes it's hard to even feel or see or know that that's what's going on. This verse says transform, but it also says do not conform. We have to recognize when they're trying to conform us. We have to see when that conformation, when they're trying to conform us to something that is not scriptural. It's not biblical. That thought process is not easy. We have an incredible amount of information in our pockets most days. And the question is it true? Everything on the internet's true, right? So what is the real problem? The real problem is we do not want to be conformed to a thought process or a culture that's not biblical, correct? That's the test. And our culture is after us. Propaganda is the word I'm going to use for the morning. The definition is this: propaganda is information that is not objective and is primarily used to influence an audience and further an agenda, often by presenting facts selectively to encourage a particular synthesis and a perception. That never happens in our world, right? Nobody is spinning. There's the term you guys should pick up, spinning anything. I think it's called a no-spin zone. Or on the other channel that rivals, whatever their term is, I don't care to put it out. We are bombarded daily by propaganda. Is it outright lies they're telling? No. Are they omitting certain aspects of what they're saying so that their particular agenda is heard? Absolutely. Every time I watch a news story break, whether it's a tragedy or a good thing, I am a sick puppy. I flip between these two channels because I want to see what this one's saying, and then I go and watch this one, and I laugh hysterically because they're reporting on the same thing, right? Particularly if it's a political story, and you're going, wait, liars, hate mongers, wonderful, wonderful people. How are they talking about the same thing? They have an agenda. They have a propaganda that they want your mind to conform to. And every time I do that, I catch myself thinking about, don't laugh at me, please. I like Broadway musicals. And I kind of find myself thinking about the musical Chicago. And I know It's a little risky to bring Broadway to the stage of Spruce Lake, but we're going to take a shot and we're going to trust you. You're not going to throw me out. And if you do, I need a nap anyway. So, Chicago is a musical put in the 1920s with the Flappers, and it's a dance speakeasy type place where prohibition's in place, and it's about this club and this woman, and she ends up killing her lover in cold blood because she's just quite honestly mad at him. He didn't give her what she wanted, and she shoots him. And the story is about how Mr. Flynn, the attorney, is going to get her off. And there is a part in the, this is a movie, but in the play, where he starts telling his version of the story. And I'd like you to watch it because this is what I see our culture doing.
His mouth never moves. Almost.
Where'd you come from?
Mississippi.
And your parents?
Very wealthy.
Where are they now?
6 feet under.
But she was granted one more start.
The convent of the Sacred Heart.
When'd you get here?
1920.
How old were you?
Don't remember.
Then what happened?
I met Amos and he stole my heart away. Convinced me to elope one day.
Oh, poor dear, I can't believe what you've been through. Convent girl, a runaway marriage. Now tell us, Roxy, who's Fred Casely?
My ex-boyfriend.
Why'd you shoot him?
I was leaving.
Was he angry?
Like a madman. Still, I said, Fred, move along.
She knew that she was doing wrong.
Then describe it.
He came toward me.
With a pistol.
From my bureau.
Did you fight him?
Like a tiger.
He had strength and she had none.
And yet we both reach for the gun. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both reach for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, we both reach for the gun, for the gun.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both.
Understandable, understandable. Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible. Not a bit reprehensible. It's so defensible.
How you feeling?
Very frightened.
Are you sorry? Are you kidding?
All I'd say is, though my choo-choo jumped the track, I'd give my life to bring him back.
And
stay away from
what?
Jazz and liquor.
And
the men who
what?
Play for fun.
What?
That's the thought that
yeah.
came upon me
when
we both reached for the gun.
Understandable, understandable.
Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible, not a bit reprehensible, it's so defensible.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both reached for.
Let me hear it.
The gun, the gun, the gun, oh yes, they both. For the gun.
A little louder.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, they both. Oh yes, they both. Oh yes, they both.
Oh yeah.
The gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, they both. Reach for the gun.
For there we are. Got it.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, they both. Oh yes, they both. Oh yes, they both. Reach for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, they both. Reach for the gun. For the gun.
Reached for the gun.
So today, we would be monitoring the amount of tweets that went out on it, or we'd be checking on how viral the pics went of reaching for the gun. She has no remorse in her whatsoever. It was a blatant right shooting. He was nowhere near the gun. None of the facts really matter. Billy Flynn is going to convince the world it was self-defense. And then the newspaper picks it up, and then all the columnists pick it up, and Billy Flynn is up there just manipulating the system. You think we're being manipulated these days? You betcha. But what's the real point? I watch too much news. No, that's not the real point. The real conversation starts in Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than the other wild animals and the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree, in any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "but God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Are we not still being told the same lies that were told in the garden? Did God really say? Isn't the same serpent still the marionette operator of our culture? Is it not the case that each thing we're trying to evaluate comes down to the question, do we trust God? Because in fact, if we trust God, the lies are less effective on us. John 8:43 and 44 says this. Jesus is talking. He's in a couple of different stories here being tested by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says this, "Why is my language not clear to you?" It's a rhetorical question. He's going to answer it. "Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I love that line. When Satan speaks lies, he speaks his native language. Oh my. And that's not anybody saying it. That's Christ telling us the truth. He's saying flat out, Satan is fooling you. He's lying to you. The devil's propaganda started in the garden, and it continues to today. He was the first promoter of the ideology that is simply destroying the human race. He's also the best promoter of the ideology that's destroying the human race. John 10:10-11 goes on to say, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy." Why would he come to do that? It's his objective. That's why. He came to mess with God's creation. He's a fallen creation, and he wants to mess it up as well, and he wants people to come towards him, and it is in his nature. And his lie, God is not telling the truth, or God cannot be trusted, is attacking everything that we know and hold from our historical belief patterns true. First, you can't trust God. Second, in fact, religion and faith at best have no value, and at worst are an ideology that is hate-mongering. You've heard these words, right? The Bible's just a nice set of stories with no real impact for today. Church is an antiquated institution whose days are long gone. Family and marriage is for the birds. Live for yourself. If it fits into your pattern, have at it, but eh. Fathers, you're a joke. You have no leadership, and you shouldn't have any leadership in your homes. Our sexuality, who even knows where we're going with that these days? Sorry. Even just to the point of our appearance. I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm bald, I have the wrong size feet. Everything we now know is up in the air. Because the first question is, do you trust God? And he's got us. We struggle over those things because of the lies of our culture. 1 Timothy 3:1 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I think Paul nailed it. What do you think? You think he got it? Watch the news. Watch the shows that we're watching. Watch the television programs that are out there and how they're twisting family and life. It is about self. It's about the fact that God has no place in our culture. Every problem you face can start with, do you trust God? Verse 13 goes on to say this, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So who's the problem? I know who it is. It's them. It's all of those who don't think like me. Now I'm on CNN and Fox again. Right? It's them. Do you realize that them are just as deceived in some aspects as we? Do you realize that the only real question is how far are we willing to go to share the truth with them and them with us? Because if we build the walls, there will be no truth sharing between us. They'll just be pointing of fingers. We're not fighting them. The world has been lied to. They've bought it. They're promoting it. They don't know they're promoting it, but they are. We're fighting Satan. And we're fighting the lie that God can't be trusted. So how do we move forward in this mess? And notice I didn't say out of this mess. It's not going away, guys. It's one of the strongest realizations I struggled with this year. The mess that keeps coming to these grounds is going to continue to come, and that's what we're supposed to be here for. Ah! I just want it to be clean and nice and simple. I want everybody to think like me. I don't want to have any of these arguments. I don't want to have any. We're going to be in this mess, guys. But Timothy does not leave us hang. Paul does not leave us hang in Timothy. Timothy 3:10 says this, however, you know all about my teachings. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. This is Paul's letter to a boy he loves. This is Paul going, hey, son, let me tell you something. That matters to me. That's actually very appropriate to me because I wrote this letter to my own son 2 weeks ago. Well, I wrote it. I gave it to him 2 weeks ago. He left for college, by the way. Aiden's not here anymore. He's off at college driving me crazy with texts of what he's doing and what he's jumping off into what stream. That's not college, Aiden. Anyway, I wrote this letter to my son a couple of weeks ago. This is Paul's letter to a boy he loves. I'm paying attention to this. Verse 10, You know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I've endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Timothy is not listening to somebody that he does not personally know and is not listening to somebody that is foreign to him. He knows every detail of Paul's life. And he's seen how God's used him and how he's processed through him and how it's come out the other side, and that gives value to what Paul's about to write. My first point is, in dealing with going through and in the mess we're in, is you got to evaluate the hearer. I watch CNN and I watch Fox, and every time I watch them, I go, I understand the ideology. Let me see what they're saying. I understand the ideology. Let me see what they're saying. I learn from both sides. Somewhere in the middle, there's something there. We have to understand the spokesperson. In this case, Timothy knew Paul. And when you're building your faith, and when you're trying to find your way through this mess, deeply know the source that's speaking to you. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 14 goes on to say this, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you've known these things from whom, because you know these things from who you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped to every good work." You know the source. You know Scripture from your youth. That is not a passive knowledge of Scripture that Paul's referring to Timothy in, is it? When someone says to you, you know this from when you're a child, you're not flipping some pages and looking for the right verse. You know Scripture. That is incredibly necessary in this age, because the statements are not really false. They're just off a hair. That's what propaganda is. It's just a little right or a little left or over the... He knows Scripture. We need to know Scripture. "Which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Scriptures will make you wise. We also need to trust God that the gift he gave us in the book that he's handed us is true. And it will lead and it will guide if we are able to. It is good for all of the things it says it's good for. And it will lead you towards every good work. I'm a business guy from way back. I'm getting old enough to say that now, but I still think I'm too young to say that. But I've studied all kinds of business curriculums. Not formally, because I get bored quick and I need to do it on my own. But I've looked at all of them. And I've watched the Scripture run through their teachings. And you kind of go, they have no idea what they're writing. And they don't know why it works for a boss to actually care about their people making the company more successful. But it works, so they write it down. And I'm reading it going, I know why it works. It's a model of Christ. And they were saying that the finest attribute of a leader today is humility. And it doesn't ring. It's like, really? That's what you came up with? That's what the world says. And I go, of course it is what you came up with, because it's truth. And if you'd read the Bible, it's in there. The reality of it is that Paul says to Timothy, know the source, understand Scripture, apply it to every aspect of life, and it'll lead you to good works. Acts 1 also gives us another gift to leading us through and in this time. This is Christ at his ascension. He says, wait here for a moment. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to walk with us in these times and in these decisions. If we allow him, he is right there. If you're a believer and you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you at all times. Are you listening? Funniest thing I ever done is with Kathy Berge and I, we sit down and look at budget numbers and we pray over the numbers and go, Lord, we don't know what to look for. And we laughed at each other doing it. And I said, you know what? He says, in all things, okay, finance, we'll do it. We find things we didn't see before. Drive me insane. I'm pretty good at numbers. But it's staring you in the face right after that, and you're like, ugh, a little freaky. Thanks, Lord. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to his disciples and said, when you've received him, go to the ends of the earth. And he's given that to us. David also gave us some hints how to walk through troubling times. David did not have a stellar track record going when he wrote some of this stuff, but this is his prayer in Psalms 51. Lord, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach the transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. David gives us a clue how to walk through trouble. Prayer. And let God, ask God to lead you back. There is no doubt that each one of us has a tentacle of Satan's lies in our lives. It's either got us here or there. It is flat out the truth that we have not escaped the propaganda of our culture. How much it affects one of us or the other, that's for you and God to figure out. But it's in your life, I'm telling you. It's in mine. Ask God to restore a pure heart, to give you a pure thought on these issues. Ask him to bring the joy of his salvation back to you and show you the truth in the words that's there. Leave your Holy Spirit with me, Lord. Have him with me so I can make it. And then, and only then, will you have enough strength to do year 15 at Spruce Lake. Sorry, you missed the joke. The reality of it is there's no way I do this job without that prayer. Because there's just a lot of junk out there that comes at us every day. John 10:10, I only read part A of the verse last time, which spoke about the devil and the lies that he's telling. Let's read the whole thing. The thief cometh not but to kill, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that I might have life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Our culture has been deceived as to what an abundant life looks like. Our culture, and I'm going to read this because I'm not going to get it any other way, says, they're telling us to go for it. Get what you deserve. Money, power, run from the pain you're in. Eat, drink, and be merry. It is what it's all about. All the old ideals are wrong. Religion is for the weak. Bible's a nice story if you believe them and you're out of touch. Marriage for life is something that should not be honored. Sex inside of marriage is an old idea. Servant leadership, really? Why would we do that? Self-sacrifice for the good of others? Well, that ain't real. And we could go on and on and on. The talking heads and purveyors of knowledge today are not the problem. They're deceived like we are. Maybe further along down the line. Maybe willing to preach it. But they're not the problem. Do you know the difference between propaganda is and a convincing argument? Webster's tells me that it's the difference is that propaganda is for an agenda and a convincing argument is to help the other person. So if you believe the lie, are you spinning propaganda when you tell it? Or are you trying to help the other guy? The reality of it is they're not the problem. The problem is we have to believe and trust God. There's another form of propaganda I'd like to leave you with. And yes, I did use that word. That word actually started when the Catholic Church went after the Protestant Church to try to turn the converts back to Catholicism. Back in the 400s, you can look it up. It's weird reading because it's like propaganda is bad. Wait, it started bad, actually. The last thing I'd like to talk to you about is while we're wading through these lies, while the propaganda hits us and we're using this thought process, what are we moving towards? What do we have to buy into to be okay? So here's Christ's propaganda. Did it come up? I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He has given us the book. We have the manual. How many of you had kids and went, where's the manual to this thing? God gave us life manual. It's called a Bible. He's given us all of his heroes and their foibles, the things they did wrong. He showed us. Don't do that. That's why he's, don't do that. This is how it'll turn out. The reality is that book gave us a roadmap. If you know the source and helping interpret that book, if you compare it to Scripture, if you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, if you pray God to transform your mind into his mind, we have a shot at walking through this. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share. Lord, I'd ask that you would set these words where they need to be. If somebody needs to hear a point, let them hear it. If somebody needs to throw it out, let them throw it out. Lord, we know you want our very best, and we are so sorry for failing to follow your roadmap many times. Lord, we have received your grace. We have received your blessing and your mercy. Lord, you have offered us salvation back into your family after our failing. Help us hold fast to you. Lord, allow us to trust you and not believe the propaganda of our culture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.